Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Dance Chat with Coach Mickey. Today's episode, I'm all the way down in Ottawa, Kansas, talking with the studio owner from Make Your Move Dance Studio. Today we're going to be talking about dance, competition life, and what it's like owning a dance studio. So stay tuned for more fun dance chat right after this. Okay. Okay, what's up? It's Coach Mickey, and I am sitting here in Make Your Move Dance Studio with owner Allie Eads.
Hi,
hello. Allie.
Hi.
Are you, how long have you been doing dancing and coaching?
So I've been dancing since I was 2, which is 18 years, actually. I'm only 20. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, you're a baby!
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. So you were telling me earlier in our YouTube video that we did, by the way, you guys want to check out our YouTube channel, Dance Spot Family Vlogs. I do a special little segment. You get to meet Allie and we get a little tour of her studio. It's pretty amazing. You were telling me you started your studio at 15.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me how that happened. What happened with that?
So I worked at a studio very briefly, just teaching dance and being a janitor and doing all kinds of stuff. And they had to change some of the things they were doing, and they didn't have any work for me anymore. And so there was that studio in town that had some higher prices and some different things changed. And there was another studio in town that had some high prices. And so a lot of the dancers that had previously been at one of those studios or the other one, they weren't able to afford dance
right.
lessons anymore. And my mom just said to me, you know, why don't you start a program here at our church? And so they allowed me to have a room there and just open it up. And I actually started out at $15 a month,
wow.
just like getting kids to come in and do things. And I started out my first couple months. I started in October. My first couple months, I had 13 kids. And then when I finished out my first year, I had 65.
So you literally have started. So if you've actually been in business for 5 years.
Yes.
Now.
Yes.
That's insane. That's so crazy. When did you start thinking about competing? Like, what made you decide to transition from just teaching dance into mm-hmm. being a competition studio?
So what I had a lot of kids interested in competing when I initially started. I had some kids that had competed before, and I just couldn't offer it the first couple years that I was open because I wasn't ready. And about two years ago, I still had some kids interested, and so I just decided to hold an audition. And I had so many kids interested in it, and we ended up starting out our first year with 13 kids on our competition team. I had one group. We only went to one regional that year.
Right.
That's the only thing that we did just to kind of test the waters. And my senior group placed 7th overall out of 40.
That's pretty
yeah,
good.
Yeah, that was a little insane. And then my junior team, my little age group of like 8 to 11-year-olds, they actually placed fifth place, one of the two, I can't really remember, overall out of, I think it was probably.
And I bet that was just like a total like boost in your confidence.
It was a boost in my ego, yeah.
Yeah, well, in your confidence too, to know that you could be a successful competition mm-hmm. studio.
And
I mean, that's truly like amazing to come out of the gates as your first time ever. Did you compete in the novice division?
My senior group competed intermediate because I was trying to follow the rules really closely.
Right.
You know, follow the rules. But yeah, no, my little kids were in the novice division.
That's crazy. The other thing I wanted to ask you is, what do you love most about teaching? I mean, you've done it for 5 years. Obviously, you've experienced all realms of teaching. What is it that you love most?
I wouldn't say all. I love learning. I love, I think it's always a process, learning and dealing with different groups of kids. But I love when a kid just gets something. Like
right.
when they're trying to master a skill, when they're trying to learn something new, and they really just, it really pops and gets with them. That's always one of my favorite things to experience.
Okay, so for me, like as a dance teacher over the years, I've been doing this since 1989.
Oh, wow.
So it's been quite a while that I've been doing this. For me, the hardest part for me was always the kids that either A, just are there because their parents want them to be there, or they just want to wear the costume. Like, how do you deal with the kids that are not as engaged? What do you do to really get all kids engaged in your classes?
I definitely have some of that, especially with like my littles.
Yes.
Because like they want to be at gymnastics. I don't want to be
right
here. And so I always just try to find something fun. Like with, if it's a little kid, we bring a prop in. Like,
well,
I have some fake
idea
donuts. I have all kinds of stuff that
yes
we just bring in, and that always makes it fun. If I have an older kid, I really try to engage them in trying to get them to learn something new rather than just, like, sticking with the same old things in ballet or the same old things in jazz. If they're not interested in it, that means I'm not doing my job
very
well. And so I try to make sure that I keep all of them interested with whatever they're doing just by giving each individual kid kind of what they need.
And what kind of advice can you give to a parent that is seeking out a studio? Like, what would be the first things that they need to look at when they are considering putting their kids brand new into dance?
Brand new into dance. I would tell a parent that was looking into a studio, if they were looking at my studio, always just to look at yearly schedules. And so we always release a schedule at the beginning of the year. And I think that's pretty common for a lot of studios, but making sure that you can commit to the events that they have put forward. And then on the subject of teaching, making sure that they have some qualified teachers and that they are an open family environment kind of
thing. Okay, so we're gonna come right back. We're gonna be getting into the next segment is kind of for more of the studio owners, like what it's like if you wanna open up a studio, the ups and downs of studio life, and some pointers for parents on how to deal with some craziness that can happen in the competition world as well. So we'll be right back after this. Hey guys, I hope you're enjoying today's podcast, Dance Chat with Coach Mickey. But I wanted to remind you to go check out our YouTube channel. That's Dance Spot Family Vlogs. And there you're going to see all kinds of videos behind the scenes of what it's like owning a dance studio and going to dance competitions, recitals, and as well as some personal family vlogs that we like to upload on our channel. We upload about every other day, and you can be sure to get all of our videos by just hitting that subscribe button at the top of the YouTube channel, as well as making sure you hit that bell notification so that every time we upload a video, you'll be the first to see it. So be sure, go on over to YouTube, check it out, Dance Spot Family Vlogs. Hope to see you there. Okay, so we're back here with our Dance Chat with Coach Mickey, and I'm sitting here with Allie Eads of Make Your Move Dance Studio. I'm having so much fun with you in this podcast. We are talking about dance studio life. So this segment that we are going to be talking about is we are going to be talking about being a dance studio owner, and if you want to be a dance studio owner, what you can expect the ups and downs will be. So let's start with the negative, because I always like to end on positive.
Oh gosh, okay.
Okay, so the downside of being a dance studio owner, what are some of the things that you have found out in the last 5 years are the things that you just are so frustrated over?
Well, I'm friends with, I choose to be friends with a lot of my parents and students and things like that, like on social media, because one, I don't really have anything to hide. I like people to know me and I like to know people, but I also find that that's a double-edged sword because a lot of times if I'm friends with them on something, they're going to talk to me if they have a question.
Correct.
And so I love questions and I'll totally answer every question that I get, but at the same time, it's Sunday evening.
I want the best. Yes. Like, or the best is when you're at dance competition and you have a parent that will be messaging you like something about recital costumes. And you're like,
yeah,
I'm literally on in like two numbers. Can you like wait until we get home and then I'll talk about it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I can feel
The craziest thing I had happened is I actually had a dance mom message me at 3 a.m. And now I'm a night owl. I was awake anyway. And we had a full-blown conversation at 3 a.m. And I'm just like, this is a little weird, but I'll accept it.
That is so funny because at our last, Facebook messaging is so much easier for me. Have you found that out too? Well, is that it's easier for texting and messaging than it is for actual phone calls?
I'm really bad actually at messaging. I can talk to you on the phone and in person all day long, but if somebody messages me, I'll be like, yeah, I'm going to get to that in 5 minutes. And then I don't. Then I forget. Then I do something else.
So what's the other, like, what's another side of the dance studio life that you have found is kind of frustrating as being
hiring teachers?
Right?
It's really hard to find qualified teachers. I mean, I live closer to Kansas City than you do.
Right.
And so I have some teachers, like I have a friend from Shawnee that comes and teaches for me. And I have some people that I knew when I danced personally that come and do things, but I can't find a tumbling instructor to save my life.
Oh my gosh.
I did find one woman who's, we're kind of testing out right now, who's at the college because we have a college here in Ottawa. And she is pretty good, but no, it's really hard to find qualified teachers.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And we come from a really small area too. Mm-hmm. So we do a lot of, we started a CIT program, which might be something that you should look into.
Oh yes.
Coaches in Training is what we call it. And we, kind of why I'm doing this podcast with you today and hopefully with some other studios, is that I want dance parents to realize that we're all in the same family. Mm-hmm. There is a dance family, and that's what we all are a part of. And us coming and talking about our different studio locations is only going to help encourage more people to want to join the world of dance. Sure. And that's what I'm hoping that this is going to be bringing to the communities. Mm-hmm. And so if you are a studio owner, or you're thinking about getting to be a studio owner, reach out to the other studios that are in your area, asking them, hey, do you have any opportunities for me to come in and maybe we can do a workshop together, and we can like bring in a master's teacher for both of our studios to like be able to benefit from, or things like that. Those are just some suggestions I have. What have you found that you've done just
to draw people together? I personally have not actually done anything like that. I want to. And like, cause we heard you and I were talking earlier a little bit about like kind of doing something like that. I would really love to have an event here in my town where I don't put my name on it necessarily, but I just invite anybody who wants to dance to come to a location that's not my studio, not someone else's studio, but to just one location where we can have something big. Like, I really truly think that we could have a convention type style thing around here, and I would get a really good amount of people.
Oh yeah. And I think it would be amazing for, especially for these small town studios like we're at, for us to be able to go to a location where we're not having to drive 2 hours to like Kansas City or something like that. And we could bring these crazy, amazing teachers from Kansas City or from outside of the state to something like that. And it would be a lot easier, more convenient, and financially cheaper for all of these dance studios to do that. So I would be totally behind you on that. I'm in it with you if you want to do something like that.
I'd love talking
about that. Okay, awesome. So we're going to keep talking about that kind of stuff in the future. And if you are interested in being a part of this, you can either hit up Allie at her Facebook page. What's your Facebook page?
Make Your Move Performing Arts.
And you also have an Instagram.
Yes, that's Make Your Move PA.
Okay. And do you have a phone number where they can reach you?
Yes. My number is 913-220-0609. I love talking to people and just kind of brainstorming about things. So I would totally take anybody.
And when I first got into the dance world, we actually had a dance teacher network that wasn't just like on Facebook, because we're a part of that too. I've seen you on there. But we also had an organization where we came together and we would do like monthly meetings and we would talk about ways that we can bring more dance positive things into our communities. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's something else we could like look into.
Yes.
Right?
For sure. Yeah.
That would be awesome.
I really
like
that.
Yes. Okay. So when we come back, we're going to get into the competition world, which is my favorite thing to talk about.
Oh, boy.
And we're going to talk about how Make Your Move has been doing so far in their competition season and the things that we love about competition and then the things we don't love so much. And we'll also be talking about like some goal setting that you might have for your future and how things are going with everyone, and I guess basically like what our favorite competitions are.
Yes.
All right, we'll be right back after this. So what's up, everybody? It's Coach Mickey, and I have some exciting news. Our Dance Chat podcast is going to be switching up a little bit in the next couple weeks. We're going to be talking all about Walt Disney World because our family just booked its flights, just paid for its trip. We are going to Walt Disney World and Universal Studios this upcoming fall. We cannot wait. And I'm going to be talking all about that in our next couple podcasts. So yes, Dance Chat with Coach Mickey is still going to be here. We're still going to be talking about dance stuff, but we're also going to be starting to talk about Walt Disney World and Universal. And we want you to be a part of all the experience with us. So come back every week, every Tuesday, 10 a.m. and get to hear what's going on behind the scenes and getting ready for our Walt Disney World vacation coming up real soon. All right, welcome back to Dance Chat with Coach Mickey, and I'm sitting here with Allie Eads from Make Your Move Dance Studio. We're having a blast.
Yes.
We're really getting into the heart of the dance world, and now we're going to get into my favorite part, which is the dance competition world. Mm-hmm. So let's start out with the best of the best. What are your favorite competitions you've taken your kids to?
My favorite has to be Star Power and Rainbow. Rainbow's a little different. Everybody has mixed opinions about Kids Artistic Review and Rainbow because they judge on a curve. But for my novice intermediate level kids, it's really fun because they're judged on their curve, underneath the advanced level and the elite level. They have their own special thing. And one of the things I love about Rainbow is they have a special section for children with special needs.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I have not started a group with special needs, but I have loved to watch that every time that I've seen it, and it's really, really special. Star Power, they're really fair. They give great critiques.
Always.
They have wonderful critiques, and they just have really qualified judges, and it was a really fun experience, a really positive experience overall.
So how many competitions did you guys go to this year?
We've gone to two, and we might be going to another one here in a couple weeks, but we haven't decided yet, and we'll be going to the Worlds of Fun competition.
I've done that one before.
Yes. Yes.
Have you done it?
We did it last year. I had one number go, so I didn't get the full experience, but
yeah. How many acts or like different studios were there for the Worlds of Fun event?
I believe there were 11 studios, and like there were two full days.
That's
so
crazy.
I don't know.
Okay,
we only went one day though.
We went was in 2009, mm-hmm. 2010, something like that.
Yeah.
It was when they first started it. We were the only dance team there.
No way. Yes. Oh my goodness.
I mean, it was fun. It was great for the kids. They got the opportunity to go on the rides and all that kind of stuff, but it was really, really small.
Okay. Yeah. See, it was pretty small.
That was the first time that they had done it. And I'm glad to hear that there's more studios going to that. That's really cool. So do you like that competition as well?
I only took one kid, and so I don't feel like I got an experience with it, because she's a 15-year-old. I'm just like, go in there and do what you're supposed to do.
Right, right.
Yeah, and so I think it was positive for
yes.
her, for sure.
Now, what competitions have you gone to that you're just not a super fan of, you're probably not going to be going back to?
Probably not. There's a peak talent competition called P3. It wasn't personally from a studio owner's, it was a little unorganized. A lot of the things that they did is they screwed up my entries, and so I had to go back in and fix it. And then when it went to the day of, they didn't register a kid. And so she went on stage, and I looked down at the thing and saw her name wasn't on the roster. And so I rushed over to the lady and I said, look, I don't want them to get counted off because I have a kid that's here.
Right,
but
right.
not on the list. Is something
going
to happen because of that? And they were like, no. And then they tried to charge me for it. And I was like, no, I paid for it already. Like, I already paid my dues. Don't do this to me. But no, that was really rough because, I mean, it was a smaller competition. And no, I love smaller competitions, but it was really hard because there was a studio there that was putting their kids in the novice level that should not have been in the novice level. And so that was
I'm not going to ask, but I have a feeling I know the studios
very,
that were there.
Very rough.
I do know studios that were
it
there.
It was very rough.
And I kind of have a feeling I know who it was. And more than likely, they were also at the other competition that we went to that were in the wrong bracket as well. So I...
No, I heard someone say that the advanced level is now super, super elite and wonderful World of Dance level. And the intermediate level is just advanced and the novice level is intermediate. Which I could agree with.
Yes.
I could agree with completely. Yes. Yes. Which almost, if it really continues to be that way in the dance world, they might need to add something under novice.
I think what they need to do is they need to add pre-pro.
Pre-pro, like, yeah, pre-pro.
Because there's a lot of times, like, there, for example, JT. Mm-hmm. You know him, JT Church. He was on the Dancing with the Stars Juniors and all that kind of stuff. He still competes. Mm-hmm. So how is that fair?
Right, because expression.
Like, Bryn does that from Club Dance. Mm-hmm. She still competes. I believe there's a couple other kids from Dance Moms that are still in the competition world after they have been paid to be on...
A TV show.
In my mind, once you get paid, you are no longer a amateur. And to me, that's what the competition world is. Mm-hmm. We're amateurs. None of them have, like, agents at that level. So... if I'm a kid that's coming in here and I know JT's in my bracket, automatically I'm going to go, that kid was just won Dancing with the Stars. How the heck am I going to beat him?
Like Expressions Dance Studio in Iowa, they're wonderful, like super talented. I love watching the stuff that they post and they still compete. Like they were at a dance competition really, really close to where I was because I went and competed in Pittsburgh at Dance Chance last year and they competed in St. Louis and I was like, oh my goodness, like what if I had I'd chosen to go to that regional?
Right.
Like what would have happened? And so that's a really, really interesting
And I think that that would help because like think about it like the Mather Dance Company. Like I'm sorry, those kids are amazing.
Yes.
That studio is amazing, but they dance on a totally different level than say like any of us that do
it's also
competition around
regionally
here.
Too as well. Like a lot of the kids that are in Hollywood and that are in the California area, they're so pre-programmed into like getting into that
into the industry
and into the industry too as well because of where they live.
Right. So we have, I think that if competitions opened up a category that gave more opportunities to kids that wanted to compete at that level.
Professional level,
yes. And then say there's some talent agents there and things like that that could be like looking for kids
that
are
idea.
In that level. Or offering them like a professional internship at some place or something like that.
Of giving out those little, they give out those little power pack at Star Power.
Right.
They give out these little like scholarship things to like go to this New York
convention
or whatever. It's not really a scholarship. It's like an invitation. What about if they actually gave a scholarship for that?
Right.
In that pre-professional level.
Right.
I think they would have a lot of interest in that.
Another thing I think that would be great is if colleges, recruiters.
Yes.
Got involved with these dance competitions and offered recruitment opportunities at them because a lot of times, and this is why I love Talent on Parade and I push Talent on Parade tremendously because they are very big, strong advocates about helping kids get
continue into the
that
dance world.
Education in the dance world beyond high school. So there was like the dance pre-professional or the college bound workshop they do every 2 years in Kansas City. They give opportunities for any dancer, high school level, competition level, to come there and be seen by college recruiters.
Yes.
And our kids who were novice kids and intermediate level kids were competing against kids that we see at competitions all the time that compete in the advanced level. Our kids got offered scholarship money too.
Yeah.
So they got offered opportunities to be seen by these colleges. Now they're on those college recruiters' radar. And that ultimately, to me, is a great opportunity for small town kids like ours.
I agree.
And I think a lot of parents don't realize that there's a lot of money out there for college that just goes away because nobody realizes you can go to college for free for dance. It's crazy. It's crazy.
A lot of private, there's a lot of private colleges that offer that kind of opportunity for sure.
So do you guys do any kind of like college bound stuff for your kids?
I've only had two seniors total in the last couple of years that I've been open. And this year I have my two seniors, and I'm pushing them to move forward into that kind of thing. I have one senior that graduated last year that she's not on a dance team at the college that she goes to because they don't offer one, but they have classes. And so awesome. She kind of participates in that. And then a student that I have currently, I've been pushing to kind of go and look at St. Mary's right now.
Oh, very good.
And so there's a lot of different places, but yeah, no. I was offered actually a scholarship to a college. Well, I didn't. I chose to keep my business, but no, I was offered full ride somewhere.
Once. That's awesome.
I was like, nah, I can't do that.
That's awesome though. Yeah. So the one thing that I love most about competitions is watching the kids make an accomplishment. Mm-hmm. Is that what it's like for you?
Yes. No, watching the kids make an accomplishment and realizing that I have a lot of underdog children, like they're the underdog. And so they realize, oh my gosh, I can actually compete against these kids. Like I'm doing something, and they want it so bad. They want it so bad. And then just watching them be able to accomplish something. I had a soloist that went on stage and she totally gunked up her solo. I mean, she got up there and she did the second chorus part to the first chorus and then reversed it.
Oh,
and
yes.
I watched her. I'm sitting on the side of the stage just smiling at her while she's standing there, and she fixed it. And she ended up getting off stage. She was really upset with herself.
Oh.
And I pulled her aside and I said, this is going to be okay. It's going to be all right. I actually went up and spoke to one of the people there, and I was like, look, I have this kid who's really upset about what she did. Even if she doesn't place or anything like that, maybe would there be a chance that she can just do it one more time? No,
right.
Anything. They were going to let her do it, but they said, no, she doesn't need to do that. They think that she's going to place pretty well, even though she messed it up. And so I said, okay. And so she did. She actually ended up placing fourth, and then underneath
wow.
her friends, which she was really happy with. I truly want my novice kids to move up into intermediate. I know it's going to be hard, but pushing them to be better is something that I really, really try for. Another goal for me is for I have a group of 12 children under the age of 5.
Oh, no.
That I take. Oh, my goodness. They're so cute. They're so cute. And so I really want to grow that part of my program and to get little kids more into competing at a
Now, have
age.
You find that hard to convince parents to do that?
I do.
At
it's
five?
Really hard. But I have a lot of people that made the jump and did it, and they love it.
Yes.
I have some people that are like, yeah, this isn't for me and that kind of thing. Because, you know, they're growing families a lot
right,
of times.
Right.
And so my group is, they're really fun. They have one number. They're doing painting the roses red, and they're in these little rose outfits.
Oh, that's cute.
They're super cute. But
yeah, we have decided anything under the age of 6 is just too stressful on me. Because mm-hmm. that's usually that's my team. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I teach the babies and I have heart attacks. Mm-hmm. I'm nervous. And then of course we always have the kids that have to go pee right before we go on stage, or you know, we had a kid that almost puked on stage and things like that. So for me, I love the babies, but mm-hmm. it's just I don't know if I can handle for me. Mm-hmm. So we don't do the little ones anymore. We like to stay with the ages 6 and up, but every studio is different. Mm-hmm. And I love watching babies at mm-hmm. competition. I just don't want my babies up there.
I get you. Oh yeah. No. It's stressful. It's really hard. You know, and a lot of times at that age, it's rough for the parents because they don't quite understand.
I swear those parents are the loudest too.
Yes.
The baby's parents are always the loudest. They're crazy screamers, but mm-hmm. I love it. That's what I love about the competition world. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you can give advice to about someone who is on the fence about taking a team to competitions? What kind of advice can you
give? I always say start small and then just go for it. I mean, if you take a group of kids or a child there, and you know, you feel like it might not be the right environment, it could not be the right competition, so you may want to try a different one.
Right.
But I always try to talk to the people that manage whoever the competition on the phone or things like that to kind of work things out and ask them about the environment, and usually from that you can really gauge the temperature of what's kind of going on with that. And then, you know, a group. I mean, just starting small and going for it.
Right.
That's really what I did. And it was really fun and a really positive experience for me. It's not for everyone, for
right.
sure. It is really stressful. It can be. But once you get into a groove of doing it, it really, really helps.
And what advice do you have for parents who are on the fence about whether or not to go into the competition world?
That's another thing. I mean, it's expensive.
Yes.
It can get expensive. It can be stressful. I mean, finding a studio that it fits your needs, it fits your child's needs, it's a positive thing. It's not viewed as stress on them. Because, I mean, that's really something that I struggle with as I have kids that do sports and different things like that while dancing.
Right.
And, like, high school cheerleaders, they're dancing and they're doing that at the same time. So right. It's really, really rough on them. But finding something that works with your schedule is really important. And then just going for it and staying positive while they're doing it.
And my advice to parents that might be listening to this podcast as well, don't worry about the placements.
Yes, the placements.
It really doesn't matter. I know it seems like it does when you're sitting there at competition and you're watching all these other studios get up there and win, mm-hmm. but your kids will eventually win. Mm-hmm. They will. Okay. It's a proven fact. It's happened for years. We've had kids who have never placed and then all of a sudden one year they're first.
Sometimes you have groups that get up there and they had two placements at this one competition. They placed fifth and fourth. And then this last time around, they did, I think, a top 10 and they placed, I think it was third and then a couple other ones, but all four of their dances placed and at the last one they didn't. And so dance is an art and it's subjective. That's something right. that we always have to remember. So you can't always rely on the judges that are in the crowd there to always like love what's on stage.
Right.
Because they see so much. And then sometimes, you know, it's just so subjective.
You can have a blackout day. And I call those blackout days is when you're sitting there and you get absolutely zero. Uh-huh. Or you can have one of those moments where you're literally up
on top
every
of the world.
5 seconds. So that's part of the risk about doing competition. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're paying for a judge's opinion. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what you're paying for, but you're also paying for the experience.
The experience for your kids
to learn how to reach for a goal and achieve it, whether it's them getting out and doing the routine mm-hmm. from top to bottom without any mistakes mm-hmm. or just getting out there and doing it mm-hmm. period. Cause some kids have major stage fright. Mm-hmm. Or it's reaching for that goal to like get a higher level in their adjudication, mm-hmm. not necessarily like what they would get in the overalls, but mm-hmm. say you've never been able to reach that double platinum or mm-hmm. that double diamond level or whatever it is that you want to try and reach for. Once they've accomplished that, those kids feel like they won first place. So.
Yes, that truly is something that I try to strive to work towards with my kids. And then, you know, working as a team, that's really important.
Oh, that's huge.
I mean, it's a huge deal. I have kids that compete independently with me, and then I have kids that compete in groups. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you something, you start at the beginning of the year and they hate each other. And then sometimes they hate each other. I had a group personally this last year. I was going to say, I have had a group this last year who this at the beginning of the year, they could not stand each other.
Right.
So many different backgrounds, so many different areas of town and things like that came together. And by the end of it, they really just got along and they learned to really love each other. And I really enjoy that aspect.
Making it a dance family once again. All right. So I really hope you guys enjoyed the conversation we had today with Allie. Did you have fun?
I did. It was awesome. Yes. Thank you. Super positive.
Yay. Okay. So make sure you tune in next week. We're going to have another dance chat with Coach Mickey. And again, go check out Allie's like social media stuff. I will put it down in the description below for you guys. And I really enjoyed this. And hopefully we'll come back again. Maybe we'll check with you like over the summer. And you never know. Maybe Allie and I might put together some ideas that we might cook up together for everybody. All right. Thanks for joining us. And we'll talk to you next time. Peace out.
Thank you.
Bye.